We're going to continue with our study in Isaiah. Anybody remember Isaiah? Yep. Okay. Now, I'm going to go through chapters 33 and 34 today. We're not going to cover the whole thing. That's way too much territory to try to cover in detail in one sermon. However, we are going to hit what I feel is the main point in these two chapters. There's plenty of other good stuff in here. And if you read through these two chapters on your own, you'll find it. I encourage you to do that. But we're going to be reading in 33 and 34. Fred, pay attention because I'm going to have you jumping from one to the other. So we're going to start with verse 1, though, of chapter 33. So chapter 1, or verse 30, chapter 33, verse 1 in Isaiah. Woe to you, destroyer, you who have not been destroyed. Woe to you, betrayer, you who have not been betrayed. When you stop destroying, you will be destroyed. When you stop betraying, you will be betrayed. On to verse 5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with his justice and righteousness. He will be sure. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. On to verse 9. The land dries up and wastes away. Lebanon is ashamed and withers. Sharon is like the Abra. And Bashan and Carmel drop their leaves. Verse 11. You conceive chaff. You give birth to straw. Your breath is a fire that consumes you. The people will be burned to ashes. Like cut thorn bushes, they will set ablaze. You who are far away, hear what I have done. You who are near, acknowledge my power. The sinners in Zion are terrified, trembling. Grips the godless. Who of us can dwell with the consuming fire? Who of us can dwell with everlasting burning? Those who walk righteously and speak what is right. Who reject gain from extortion and keep their hands from accepting bribes. Who stop their ears against plots of murder and shut their eyes against contemplating evil. They are the ones who will dwell on the heights, whose refuge will be the mountain fortress. Their bread will be supplied and water will not fail them. On to chapter 34, verse 5. My sword has drunk its fill in the heavens. See, it descends on judgment on Edom. The people I have totally destroyed. The sword of the Lord is bathed in blood. It is covered with fat. The blood of lambs and goats, fat from kidneys of rams. For the Lord has sacrifice in Bozrah. And a great slaughter in the land of Edom. And the wild oxen will fall with them. The bull calves and the great bulls, their land will be drenched with blood. And the dust will be soaked with fat. For the Lord has a day of vengeance, a year of retribution to uphold Zion's cause. Edom's streams will be turned into pitch. Her dust into burning sulfur. Her land will become blazing pitch. It will not be quenched night or day. Its smoke will rise forever. From generation to generation, it will lie desolate. No one will ever pass through it again. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning. We give you praise for your word. And Lord, this is a terrifying word that we read this morning. But we come before you because you also have the answer to that terror. Your word of hope right there. So, Lord, might we grab onto it. Might we believe your words of warning, the woe. And might we grab onto your words of encouragement and blessing as you give us direction. Lord, I pray for your anointing upon me that as I come to preach, that I would preach your word in truth and power. That you would prepare the ears and hearts of everyone here to hear what it is you have to say. Not what I have to say, Lord, but what you have. And Lord, might you speak through me. Despite all my failings, Lord, might your sovereign word reign here this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How to dwell with the consuming fire. That's our first slide there. We got a little bit of fire going. Not necessarily the question you may have thought. But this is what we have. Now we start off with chapter, which next slide is, talks about the woes. We have these warnings, the warning, these woes that we start with. Woe to you, destroyer. Woe to you, betrayer. These two woes. They haven't yet received the judgment. But they're saying, what you're doing is going to bring it. Woe. You who are a destroyer. Woe to you, betrayer. Now, very few of us like to walk around with a placard that says, betrayer or destroyer. Yep, that's me. We don't like that. Those aren't nice titles. But this is what God is naming us. Us. God's people. So Isaiah is speaking to God's people. Why are they being called destroyers and betrayers? Well, because they weren't following God's word. They had stepped out of God's will. They were worshiping other gods. They were betraying the covenant that they'd made. They were betraying their word to God. They were betraying their first love, God. They were destroying the land that God had given them and the covenant that He'd given them. He'd said, if you do these things, I will bring blessing to you. And they were destroying it by doing what they thought was right as opposed to what God said was right. Does that sound familiar? Don't we do that today yet in this land? We have people say, I had an email last night. A friend of mine from high school. I'm sorry, not an email, but a Facebook. He and I have had communication on this. His daughter, who spent the first 2 years of her life in my house, Donna did daycare, and we did the care for her. And I remember this little girl, but all I see is the little girl, the little baby. But she's now grown up. She's the same age as Jason. You know, she's 29, 30 years old now, and she's decided that she's homosexual. And she's decided to live this life. And her parents have said, good for you. And they're standing up and saying, we need to get behind and approve this or vote down this marriage amendment. And I had posted on Facebook a verse some of you would have saw about God is there for the brokenhearted and those who've been crushed. And he sent me an email or a Facebook saying, oh, is that even those who you will crush their dreams by voting for this? I'm like, you just don't get it, do you? See, God is there for all those who are crushed and hurt. Whether they've been crushed or hurt because they are following His word or because they have been crushed and hurt because they have been disobedient to His word, God is still there for them. He still loves them. Okay? When my boys were young, there were times where I had to tell them no. And quite frankly, they were crushed. They were crushed. They were devastated. Dad said, no, I wanted to do it. It was so important. And they cried. And I didn't say, I'm making him cry. I wasn't that kind of dad. Okay? I actually hurt when they hurt. And I would hug them and say, no, it's going to be okay. But no, I can't say, what you want to do is wrong. You can't do that. What you want is wrong, and you can't have that. And that's what God tells us. Here he's telling us, whoa. Because what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is in direct disobedience to my word. Whoa. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. We, due to our disobedience to God, we're now vulnerable. Next slide. We're fragile. Okay, my spelling is really bad. Flammability is not spelled correctly, but it's supposed to be in a F-L-A-M-M-A, I believe. Whatever.
Amen.
Amen. It's spelled wrong. Okay. We're vulnerable. We're fragile. What kind of fragile are we talking about? What kind of vulnerability are we talking about? We're talking about the flammability that God highlights here in these passages. Okay, the land dries up and wastes away. Lebanon is ashamed and withers. Sharon is like Abarah, and Bashan and Carmel drop their leaves. Okay, these are the places that were known to be fruitful. They become dry and desolate. Mount Carmel's green. No, it's going to drop its leaves because it's dry. You conceive chaff. Any of you know what chaff is? Okay, that's the stuff that comes off of the grain husk. This stuff is flammable. Fred, can you show me this little slide, this little video that I got there? It's just 19 seconds long. But that guy is pointing out to just let it loop. What that guy did is he took some chaff and he had a small flame. Hit play again. It's not looping. Now he took this chaff and he released it in the air. And there's a flame and it just goes big fireball. Okay, watch this. Big fireball. That's chaff. Okay? Anybody at the hayride? Anybody here was at the hayride? Anybody see Tim playing with the fire? Tim took some dry branches that had some really dry stuff on it, and he put it on there and went, whoosh. Yeah. Okay. This is the type of stuff that we are being likened to. You conceive chaff. You give birth to straw. Your breath is a fire that consumes you. Your very breath is a fire that consumes you. The peoples will be burned to ashes like cut thorn bushes. They will be set ablaze. Okay? Canyon fires. Last year, there are a couple of them out in Colorado and out in this. We get these wildfires that go on and houses get burned up. These fires just burning out of control. And there's nothing there except some thorn bushes, some dry grass, some chaff. You know, all this stuff goes up. Boom! That's vulnerable. If you are in the midst of that, you are in a world of hurt if there's something that ignites it. Now in chapter 34, it talked about, my sword has drunk its fill to heavens. See, it descends in judgment on Edom. The people I have totally destroyed. The sword of the Lord is bathed in blood and is covered with fat. The blood of lambs and goats. See, in the temple, there was an altar. And on that altar, there were continually new sacrifices being laid upon it. And they would be consumed by fire. Anybody here ever cook on a grill? What happens when the fat drips into the fire? Flame on, right? You keep piling more and more fat into the fire. You think it's going to go out or going to burn hotter? It gets hotter and hotter. It burns higher and higher. In fact, it goes on and tells us that the dust will be soaked with fat. It's flammable. And the day of the Lord's vengeance, curse, retribution will uphold Zion's cause. Edom's streams will be turned into pitch. You know what pitch is? It's basically tar. Okay, they didn't have, you know, asphalt like we had then, but, you know, it's basically natural occurring tar. It's pitch. And it burns. And you can't, throwing water on it doesn't put it out. Just burns around it and dries water off, you know. You got to smother it. But it will not be quenched night or day. This is like those coal fires. Okay? Got mines where they have a fire. It'll burn for years underground. Can't put it out night or day. Just burns and burns. The land will become blazing pitch. It will not be quenched in any day. Its smoke will rise forever. From generation to generation, it will lie desolate. No one will ever pass through it again. This is what's being told. This is our vulnerability. This is what we're like. We're conceiving chaff by what we do. Our actions, when we are contrary to God's will, we are bringing our lives into this. They become something for the fire. Well, God asks a question. He says, who of us can dwell with the consuming fire? Who of us can dwell with everlasting burning? Many of us love a nice fire in the fireplace, right? Controlled, but fire loose in the house, dwelling with it? Not so much. You know, who can dwell with consuming fire? Who's the consuming fire? God is the consuming fire. Okay? Get this picture. We're chaff, dried thorns. God is a consuming fire. Now, next slide. Exodus 24:17. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Deuteronomy 4:24 says, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Isaiah 30:32, just a couple chapters ago. I'm sorry, I didn't want 30, that's not 32, that's 27. But 32 also talks about consuming fire, but this is verse 27. It says, see, the name of the Lord comes from afar with burning anger and dense clouds of smoke. His lips are full of wrath. His tongue is a consuming fire. And then, this last description of God. Hebrews 12:29, unless we think that it's all Old Testament. You know, we're not Old Testament anymore. No. And this is New Testament too. Our God is a consuming fire. That's Hebrews 12:29. So what's the answer to this question? Because God's a consuming fire, and we're the stuff that gets consumed by fire. How do we dwell together? Dwell. What is that word? That's right. Let's live together. And it's has this context of being close and intimate. If you dwell with somebody, you're intimate with them. You're close. Now, if you have something which is flammable and you have flame and you get them close, what happens? That's what we saw with the chaff. It goes up. And hold it. If we're going to be consumed by this fire, wow. We better... How can we do it? How can we? Well, God answers His own question. He poses the question to us and then He gives us the answer. Well, that's good because I'm not really smart and I like to have the answers given to me. Okay? Especially, you know, when the teacher says, here's the question, oh, and here's the answer to the question. Usually, you know, when I'm going to get a test, I'm like, write those down. Here's the question for the quiz, and here is the answer. Now, if you don't get it right after that, whose fault is it? Well, God gives us the answer. But why do we still get it wrong? Okay, that's another question. Amen. Amen, Vicki. So God gives us the answer to the question. First one, walk righteously. Who can dwell? Those who walk righteously. What is walking righteously? It's according to God's direction, not our own. According to His commands, not our own will. According to His wisdom, not the wisdom of the world. If we walk righteously, we're walking according to what He has told us to do. That's walking righteously. Then, next, we're to speak what is right. So, if I'm to speak what is right, that means that if it's right, I need to speak up and say it, if it needs to be said. But it also means I need to not say that which is false. Okay? It's both. It's not one or the other. But we need to speak what is right. Next, God tells that those who can stay in the consuming fire, those who will not be consumed, are those who reject extortion and bribes, etc. They said they're not going to profit by it. Even though I have opportunity to line my pocket, I'm not going to take that opportunity. Okay, I'm not going to abuse what authority I may have in this world through bribes or extortion, through usury. I'm not going to do that. Okay, sounds good so far. What else is he at? He says, we'll not listen to plots. It's not going around, la, 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 I'm not going to listen. It's, Butch, did you know that Mike, up there in the sound booth, I think that we can get together and figure out how to get his house away from him. And then we could sell that and use the money just between the two of us. Well, what do you think? I've got this plan. Now, but if I'm doing this, Butch should be saying, I'm not interested in this conversation. I'm not going to be part of it. And hopefully he'd also go to Mike and say, hey, Mike, watch out, Pastor Bruce, I'll get you my house. You know. Plotting, planning in the office. I know how we can get so-and-so. No. I'm not going to have anything to do with that. We will not listen to plots. Scheming. Okay, the last one he says is that we will not contemplate, that is, look at evil. Contemplate. Another word for basically meditation. Meditate. Think upon. Direct. Give it our attention. I'm going to contemplate it. I'm going to give it my attention. I'm not going to give evil my attention. Evil isn't what I should be focused on. I'm not supposed to be giving it my attention. What am I supposed to be giving my attention? Good. If I'm not going to give it to evil, I must be giving it to good. That's where I'm going to put my attention. So, don't give it my attention. Don't look at it. There are a lot of things on the internet maybe I shouldn't look at. A lot of things in the world that I shouldn't look at. I need to sometimes turn my eyes. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to give it my attention. Instead, what am I going to do? Is I'm going to walk righteously. I'm going to speak what is right. I'm going to reject extortion and bribes. I'm not going to do this wrong. I'm not going to listen to plotting and planning against somebody else, against God, and I will not contemplate or look at evil. Wow. You know what? That sounds doable. I mean, really? I think I can do those things. Or at least I can give it a shot. Who of us can dwell with the consuming fire? Who of us can dwell with everlasting burning? Those who walk righteously and speak what is right, who reject gain from extortion and keep their hands from accepting bribes, who stop their ears against plots of murder and shut their eyes against contemplating evil. They are the ones who will dwell on the heights, whose refuge will be the mountain fortress. Their bread will be supplied and water will not fail them. If you've got fire around in your flammable, water's your friend. The Holy Spirit is not just consuming fire, but He is also that well of living water. And He will not fail us. He will not fail us. We need to fear God. He is a consuming fire. We're flammable. Think we should maybe fear Him? Yes. Okay, those who fear God make Him their foundation. What they're going to receive is salvation, wisdom, and knowledge in abundance. You see, He will be the sure foundation of your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Fear of the Lord, people. The problem that we have is that we're not fearing God in the way we live our lives. Let's fear Him, recognizing that we have something to be fearful of. He is a consuming fire. And without Him, we're no more than tinder for that fire. And we will be consumed. But with him, we will receive salvation, wisdom, and knowledge in abundance. I like an abundance of salvation. I need lots of it. Okay? Wisdom? Need even more of that. And knowledge? Yeah. Oh, yeah. He shows us how we can live the life each day. That is righteous. That is walking with Him. That is looking away from evil. See, this is what our Lord has for us. And it starts with fearing God. Because if we truly fear God, we won't do these things that destroy or betray. Would you seriously destroy that which is precious to somebody who you truly believed had the power and authority, and if slightest inclination to just snuff you out like that? Would you destroy that which they prized and loved? No. Would you betray them? Take a chance that they just might find out about your betrayal? Knowing that that's all it's going to take? Our society today, we're not fearing God. In the church today, we're not fearing God. Let us fear God. And from there, He will lead us on the road of salvation. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You this day and we give You praise and thanks. Lord, we are, without You, no more than chaff, no more than dry thorns ready for the fire. And You, Lord, are indeed that consuming fire. Might we fear You, Lord, and follow Your ways. Be obedient to Your will. And do that which You've asked us to do, to the best of our abilities. Trusting that then, Lord, You will give us the salvation that we need, and trusting that You will indeed be that water that will not fail us. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your encouragement that even though there's judgment spoken here, Lord, You've shown us how we can receive salvation through fearing You and trusting in You. So, Lord, might we do so. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and we